Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Red Tamper, and we're going to do it like we always do. We've got a special guest coming on tonight, and we're going to do our thing. We'll see you after we left here and give you Word Sexy Radio. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here, and we're going to be doing our thing like we always do. And anybody want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we do it like that because that's how it can only be done. So we're going to do this thing. And we're going to go ahead and see if our guest is here, and we're going to go ahead and speak with her. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, let everybody know who you are.
Well, hi, everybody. My name is Jerika Armstrong, one of the best-selling authors out of New Jersey, trying to do it big, keep it real, see what's going on with the world. You know how I do.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you on the show, and we just definitely, you know, we had you before, and it's always good to have reoccurring guests. And I know last time we spoke, there were some issues going on with you that what you had with your publisher, and I still see that that thing is still floating around. So if you want to talk a little bit about that, you can.
Sure, no problem at all. No problem at all. What happened was, when I was just coming into this game, when I realized writing was something I wanted to do for a long-term goal, I sought out publishers. I knew that when I sought out big-name publishers, people that work with, like, Steve Harvey and big-name celebrities, they weren't interested in my work. So I had to go to, as I call them, the Facebook publishers. You only see their work advertised on Facebook and nowhere else. So I went to one of these authors. I went to one of these authors, and I presented her with my book that I now publish myself called Hide and Seek. She loved my book, glorified my book, hyped my book up to no ends, mountains of the earth. But in the same realm of her telling me my book is wonderful, she tells me, I don't want to publish your book. You may give my authors competition. You should publish your book, but why don't you help me write this book? And this book is called The Preacher's Trick, which I am noted as being co-author on this book. We went on this book for about maybe a year. We wrote back and forth. Everything was decided that we would cut the cost down the middle. I found out after all this was said and done that that wasn't a good deal to have been made. When a publisher approaches you about publishing a book or doing a co-write with them, normally the publisher takes care of editing, book cost, as far as finding the editor, the layout, finding the cover designer. That's all done by the publisher. This, of course, is something I did not know. So when she said 50-50, I'm like, okay, no problem. I put in 50% of the work, 50% of the money. I get 50% of the proceeds. That's what my math taught me. You know, I had good math skills. I thought that's what it was supposed to be. Then it becomes the book is starting to become published. And I'm getting asked for these astronomical fees. I'm being told that a cover designer wants to charge her $600 for a cover. She needs $600. Exactly. $600 for a cover.
Hold that just for a minute. I think we may have our co-host here, and you got me all fumbling here with that $600. Damn. Shit was fucked up. Anyway, DV, are you here?
Yeah, it's me, man. I came in the middle of a rant, so I was like, uh-oh.
$600.
$600.
Okay.
$600 for a cover. I'm being told it's $800 for editing. I'm being told that these fees are astronomical. And besides the fees are concerned, we were planning a party for this book, a book release like most authors do. They get a big party going on, sell their books. I got hit with, prime example, I got hit with, okay, we have to order these books. Now, keep in mind, if we're doing this 50-50, if we're making these decisions 50-50, that means before you sign any contracts, you should come to me and say, hey, Drika, this, that, fourth, and fifth, do you agree? No, don't you agree? What can we do? All these decisions.
Right there, order right there now. Mm-hmm. Now that right there, I'm sure a lot of red flags, all those people that are listening out here that are thinking about writing and getting with some of these publishers that's out there, make sure you listen to what's going on here, because I'm going to tell you, there are some hustlers out there, and there's some people that's trying to get over as well. There are some that have your best interest at heart, but this story, I mean, I know it was told on the show before, but we wanted to tell it again because it's still surfacing out there, and we wanted to kind of get that out there. So, DV, that's why you're hearing this again. I'm sure you know this story. We're going to kind of hit this a little bit, and then we're going to get into our subject because I know you got that subject, and I like the subject that you picked, and we're going to definitely get into that. But I wanted Drika to kind of talk about this a little bit, and then we're going to get into her project. You know, we're going to get to air it out first because people have been asking about this thing. So, go ahead and finish that, and then we're going to go right into it.
No problem. So it became a point where, you know, decisions that should have been made by the two of us was only being made by her, as if she was the sole publisher and everything, knowing that this was supposed to be a joint decision. These decisions was made by her. She would make the choice and then say, well, Drika, you got to pay me half of this, half of this. I'm like, you done lost all parts of your rabbit-ass mind. You think I'm going to shell out this type of money?
When did you realize this shit was a scam? Because
Go figure. I didn't realize this was a scam until, I want to say, little situations started happening, like weeks apart. One of the situations that let me know something wasn't right, when it came time to ordering the books. Every author, some authors mainly go through Lightning Source, which is a pretty normal company for us authors to use. They pretty much handle all of our book process, the whole process entirely with printing the book. That's what me and her both use for our individual products. And she told me, well, I went to them. They wanted to charge me all this insane amount of money, so I went through somebody else. A friend of mine hooked me up, so that's where we're going now. Okay, how much is it? Well, for 1,000 books is like $3,200. I said, what the hell did you just say to me? $3,200? And she said, well, look, I need your half by Friday. Keep in mind, we were talking on a Tuesday, so I had to break this down like a kindergarten. Like, you mean today is Tuesday?
Tuesday's a Friday.
Exactly. Like, it's Tuesday today. You mean tomorrow's Wednesday, then Thursday, then Friday. That's what you want your $1,600?
How'd you make the money, man?
I didn't do it. I didn't send it because I knew something wasn't right. For her not to have given me much notice, something in my spirit told me something wasn't right.
Was she trying to get you to sell some half or something to get that money? I mean, how in the hell was she supposed to
do that? I don't know what she thought I was supposed to do to get that money. I'm sorry, but I don't do strange things for a little piece of change.
What do you mean? What you think about this shit, man? It's fine, brother.
You know, this is the one thing I'm not, I'm still not understanding. All right, when you guys entered into, you know, a partnership, was there a contract signed?
Yes. The contract stated that all decisions would be made by us equally, and that we would be in charge of everything together. Everything would be 50-50. If at any point in time this contract became not good for either party, another contract would be drawn up and amended with both of us agreeing.
Okay, so it was a legitimate partnership. My question is this then. What happened to the new contract once it was deemed that you know this is the direction that you wanted to go?
There was no new contract drawn up. When I started to realize that she wanted to make decisions on her own without consulting me, I at the time had two major deaths in my family. My grandmother and my father died within 4 months of each other. And she...
Let me ask you this. Was there not a lawyer involved in this anywhere?
That's what I'm saying.
No, because the contract... I had my lawyer take a look at the contract. The contract was pretty good. It just stated the obvious that, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of legal jargon into it. We broke it down. Whatever I didn't understand, I took it to my lawyer, and everything was said and done as far as we would pay for things equally, every decision would go between us, and then if there was any reason why this contract did not work for us, we can always have it amended with giving the other person proper days' notice. None of that never came up. It was always... okay, we're doing this, okay, no problem. Just as we completed writing the book, I had the first death in the family. So she asked me, okay, do you want me to find the editor? I said, yes, just send me their samples, let me look at their work, and we can decide. Couple weeks after that, I chose an editor. What? I chose an editor. I'm like, I thought we were supposed to go half. Well, I know that you were dealing with your family, so I took it upon myself. The first time that happened, I thought, oh, she's a good friend, because we were friends before this. Then all of a sudden, the next time it happened, it was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Why are you making these choices without me? Oh, well, you know, it just became like, really, what's going on? It's not until the money that she started asking for obscene amounts of money, and the fact is that the one situation that broke the camel's back that I didn't agree with is the book release party. She had the book release party in her city. I'm in New Jersey. She lived a couple of states away from me in Virginia. So it wasn't like it was met in the middle, like Baltimore or somewhere where we can both get to equally amount of travel. She had it where she was from. But this book party was also her birthday party. This was also her birthday party.
Oh, shit.
I saw signs that something wasn't right when she sent me an itemized list, and I still have this list. She sent me an itemized list of what I had to pay for. At that very moment, I knew something wasn't right. She sent me saying I had to help her pay for an ice sculpture, a limo. She got gas cards, gas gift cards to gas stations that's only present in Virginia that she was giving away at the door for door prizes.
I'm not trying to cut you off, but let me say this real quick. People that's listening, if you out here and you're looking at these people to help you get yourself out there, and I'm sure Jerika has learned this, you need to do research before you put your name on a piece of paper. Because I'm going to tell you, you will get fucked.
I take your word for it, you know, because every partnership that I've entered into, you know, I've gone through a fine-tooth comb. So, you know, it's always, you know, like, I understand what Drika said, you know, but in a partnership, sometimes the other partner makes decisions, but they have to let you know that the decisions have been made. You know what I'm saying? They're not obligated to, you know, like I used to run real estate with, you know, some family. They would go ahead and take care of something, but they had to let me know that it was done. They didn't have to let me know at the time it was done, but they had to let me know within a reasonable amount of time. That's what the law says, and that's pretty much what the lawyer's like. Well, you know, she let you know, so, you know, you can't get it back on that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So that's where it was covered at, you know, because she did let me know that it was done. It's just, you know, I wasn't in on these decisions. And then when the book came out, it became a different story. Because now that this book has came out, everybody is asking about this book. Everybody wants this book. But then I start, and people not realizing, Facebook can fuck you or it can help you. I need people who listen to really understand when I tell you Facebook can fuck you or it can help you. And it really fucked her at the end. Because
all right, go ahead, finish your statement.
What she started doing was she booked, about a month after the book came out, she booked a mini tour in Baltimore. I found out by my friend who was on Facebook and asking me, why didn't you tell me you were going to Baltimore in 2 weeks? I said, I'm not going to Baltimore. What are you talking about? Well, she got up there that y'all going to some type of book tour in Baltimore. I look on Facebook, bled out the whole itinerary.
Wow.
I'm not told nothing. I'm not told anything at all.
Okay. Well, let me stop you right here for just a second, because we may have a caller. Caller with 312 area code. If you have a statement or a question, you may ask it at this time. State your name, where you call from.
I don't have a statement. I'm just listening in. You know, it's me, Cotton.
Hey, girl.
Hey, everybody.
Who is this again?
Your favorite Cotton.
How you gonna say who is it?
I didn't
even know about the voice.
I'm sorry, goddamn. Where have you been?
I've been everywhere.
Traveling.
Everywhere?
Everywhere.
I know you have. Just don't have no time for me no more, baby. Just don't have no time.
In fact, she went ahead and got her own show. She couldn't tell me. I found out on Facebook. I was like,
I just got, and it hasn't even started yet.
I know, baby. I know. I keep up with you. Even though you don't call me no more, I knew. This is Miss Cotton, y'all. Just in case y'all didn't know, this is my long lost woman. She left next to somebody else. But that's all right. She's talking to me now. So we got Miss Rika Armstrong on the show, and she was telling us about how she got screwed by some book deal. The person is now on the run, and we were talking about that. I think he was on here before when we kind of had this subject. And then we're going to get into some of her new stuff, and then we got some other things that's going to happen. But we thank you for calling in. Connor, are you going to stick with us, or are you just going to listen?
No, I'm sticking around.
Okay, well, we're going to keep you on then. Now, Drika, am I saying your name right? If I'm saying it wrong anymore. Because, you know, I can fuck some names up. Your name again, baby.
I know. I was on the last show where you messed up the girl name, and she got pissed off and hung up. She was hilarious.
Yeah, that's
I remember that one. That shit was funny.
I did fuck that shit up tomorrow. But anyway,
that's because everybody's name was almost the exact same.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
My friend, Danielle was on, but when you mispronounced her name, she didn't catch her attitude, said, my name is Danielle. When you said my name wrong, I said, my name is Drika. But that other girl, she just went off for side note. She went off for no reason. She just ain't do her research on what type of show she was coming on before she came on. She ain't no Red Snapper cuss. She thought Red Snapper was all dainty and dignified. She ain't know you cuss like the best of us.
I tell you what, that was something. But tell us though, what do you have out now? Because now that you've gotten away from all this and you have kind of recovered from what has went down, tell us about your latest endeavors. What's going on with you right now, as far as your books? Because I know you have a new project that you put out on your own and you get away from that. So tell us about that.
Yes, my new book is called Game Over. Game Over is about a man that loses his wife in a poker game. The economy is tough. You can't bet money no more. When you don't have money, you got to bet what's next to you. So he lost his wife in a poker game, and she found out some other secrets. You know, things like what happens in the dark comes to the light. All those catchphrases that our parents put in our ear, now I'm putting it to the world.
Like slavery. Wow. Damn.
Not like
slavery.
That's
an indentured servant.
You know,
that's what it sounds like.
Not really an indentured servant, because, I mean, if my man lost me in a poker game after I whoop his ass, I'm leaving. I ain't got to stay. So she stayed for a reason. She stayed for a reason. It wasn't slavery. Ain't nobody make her stay. She stayed for a reason.
What was that movie? What was that movie Demi Moore was in? And the
Indecent Proposal.
Indecent
Proposal.
Yeah. Damn, boy, I tell you.
That man said $1 million.
I would give my husband away for $1 million.
Thank you.
Honey, go.
Man.
Take one for the team. Help our kids get to school. Go. Bye.
Yeah, please. If someone that came along and was like, I will give you $1 million, I will fuck the shit out of that woman. Twice.
I will buy the condoms. Go. Do I need to book the hotel? In fact, you know, you ain't even got to go to a hotel room. You can go right over here in my bed. Just make sure that check clears the bank or let someone put my foot in somebody's ass. But give me my check right now. And y'all go do what y'all. In fact, leave me for her. Let me keep the million. Go do what you got to do. Time is right. We in bad economy right now. We in a recession.
So when is the book coming out? Has it dropped already?
The book is coming out in February of next year, and I'm going to follow that book up with another book, which is loosely based off of a true story. When my father died, as I told you and the audience a few moments ago, when my father died, let's just say this. I thought my father was like Heathcliff Huxtable. I thought my father was like a Huxtable man. Found out my father was Rick James.
Yeah.
All my father's secrets hit me in the head one by one.
What's your name again? Say that shit again.
She said Rick James.
Rick
bitch.
James.
You said Rick James?
Rick James. And I thought about it. So I'm in the process of formulating that book because I do want to respect my father's memory. There are a lot of things in that book I don't think I want to specify, tell, because that's his personal. But I'm going to take this book. Yep.
The last thing he said on TV, though, I'm Rick James, bitch, that shit was fucked up. I like that, though.
But it was funny, though, and it was true.
It was funny. I liked it. That's what I'm saying. The
last thing I remember him saying was cocaine was a hell of a drug.
Yeah, and super freak. I mean, you got to admit, I'm in love with Mary Jane to it all.
You know, you kind of favor him now that I come to think of it. Shit. Nah, I'm just bullshitting. You would have told me that. I never would have saw that. But damn. Rick James. Oh, man. We have celebrities on the show all the time. And, you know, it's just like that. And, it's good. We liked you anyway before you told us that. But damn, now you told us who your daddy is. Okay.
Oh, she
never
said
James
it was like Rick James,
dad.
Not Rick James,
like
her daddy.
Rick James. My father, to me, my father was always Heathcliff's Huxtable. Like, he was that doting father, wonderful father. Me, as a child of somebody, you never want to know what your parents' secrets are. If you have a child, you know it's certain things about yourself. You will never tell your children. You know it's some things. You never want your children to find out about you. Everything my father didn't want me to know about himself, I found out when he died. Everything.
But see, I'm going to tell you like I told a friend of mine earlier today, because me and him go back and forth, you know, because he talk about the problems that men have, and I say, and I always tell him this, I said men are fallible. The message is always more important than the person giving it. you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those are the things you have to take out of it. None of us perfect, you know. And hell, if most of our secrets got out, we'd be like, damn, we want to die anyway. So I mean, sometimes you know, your father left you with the message, or at least you know the perception that he was a good man who did good things. But you don't never want to, if I knew about the stuff my parents did, man, I'd probably throw it right now. I don't need
it. Now, keep in mind, I'm an adult, so I can pretty much handle anything I hear coming out of anyone's mouth. But, I mean, me as a mother, I know there are certain things in my life my son will never know. I will never tell him
what his
favorite position is. My child. I would never tell him things like that. And these are things you don't win. Like if you have both of your mother and your father, and you see your father smack your mother in the ass, he'll be like, "Oh, Dad, stop that! I'm in the room."
Yeah.
Oh my God! Like you close your eyes, like ew, you get sick. And it's like when my father died, it opened up. It seemed like when my father died, I opened the door, and every skeleton bone knocked my ass in the head and knocked me out. One secret was worse than the last. And then the bad thing about it is that everybody around me knew, except me.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Everybody. People who lived damn near 1,000 miles away, I called them, "Hey, my dad died. Did you know this?" "Yeah, I know him for like 10, 15 years." "Well, what the hell? Nobody told me." And I had to learn. I had to learn that I'm not supposed to know all my parents' business. I had to learn that. I had to learn that because I was very angry with people for not telling me. But it was a hell of a book, and that's what I'm making it into. It's going to be a hell of a book.
All right. Well, we definitely look forward to seeing that. But stick around because we got Miss Cotton, who is now a surprise guest that she didn't know she was going to be. She's going to tell us all about all the shit she's been doing for the last 6 months since she don't know nobody no damn more. So what are we going to do right now? After this song, I'm going to play this one jam real quick, and then we're going to come back to her, okay? And let her just kind of explain it. And then, BB, we'll get into your subject. How about that? Will that be able to work for you? BB, are you still there? Or did you disappear on me?
No, I didn't know you was asking me. I thought you were talking to Kai.
No, I was talking to you.
He was like, "He was going to be cool." I'm like, "Shit, he must be talking to Cotton."
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, I'm not even going to do it because we really want to get into Cotton. So, Cotton, talk to us, baby.
Oh,
tell us what's going on. Tell us what's going on. You need to play a song first?
I'm sorry? Yeah, you can play a song first.
Yes,
you got to play a song first.
Play a song first. I'm going to play a short ass song so we can get to you, okay? No problem. We're going to do this.
Oh, man.
Make sure you make it juicy, too, girl.
Oh, wow.
did this, if you really are, we're better than we always do. We got to do this. All of
your goodness, your heart, your
will. I'm glad it's been on the world of history. We're back in Blue 60 Radio, and like I said, we're going to be talking to our guests. We got Tarika Armstrong, and we also have Miss Patton. She's going to be bringing us an update of what's been going on in the world of Team GPA. And I think you were talking about having him and you on the show here pretty soon. Are you guys going to be trying to get a segment?
Are we trying to get a what?
A segment, a spot on the show.
Yes, always, yes.
Okay, so tell us about what's going on with you in that world.
In this world, I started writing, writing a nonfiction or fiction book, along with another poetry book. The poetry book is called Poetry's Ranch, and then the fiction book is called Without Permission. So, I'm kind of crossing over a little bit, but I'm not leaving the poetry realm. I just with all the information that I put out there on certain subjects, I get people all the time asking certain questions, so I figured I'd write a book and say how I got to be where I am and the person I am today, basically. You know.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that, because I did see that information that you were going to be doing that book, so you definitely are going to be looking for that. That's going to be interesting to see how you put that together. And, if you need any help or anything, I know I'm not the expert, but if you need some time to help or anything on that, just let me know. I can, you know, take a look at it or whatever you'd like for me to do, and, you know, we can get that going.
Well, you know, I started writing it, and I'm probably about 70 pages in the book.
Oh, that's good.
And it got stolen.
What the heck?
What?
Stolen?
It was in with
that.
My...
I did see something. So go ahead and speak on that.
We were in St. Louis. We had a really great time. We were in St. Louis. We did the author's event that, you know, you weren't able to make, Red. And
right.
We did poetry the night before. We basically shut down that spot. It was awesome. And then the next day we did the Arthur thing, and then we all went to Sweetie Pies,
right,
for to eat. So we're in Sweetie Pies having a good time. Miss Robbie comes out. Like, we're sitting there with Mary Monroe and some other awesome authors, and we're just having a really great time. I got serenaded a couple times, and it was great. So we come out about 9 o'clock. 9:30 maybe, from eating, and to find that everything that we had in our car is gone. Everything. They took the GPS.
Well, you know, especially, which Sweetie Pie was y'all in, the new one or the old one?
I'm not even sure. It was near Del Mar, I want to say, somewhere near that. I'm not really sure, actually.
Okay, well, I know that she has more than one store or one restaurant there, because there's the old one that's in the middle of town, and then she's got the new one. So, yeah, I'm sorry that happened. I saw that, and you guys are having a special project
that
you're
doing.
For
the next 72 hours, if you buy a book, you can get a CD for free, or for half the price, and then the shipping cost is free. So,
and that's where you try to raise some of the things, try to get replace some of the things that you lost, right?
Well, kind of. I mean, the stuff that I lost actually can't even be replaced. You know, my memories are my memories, but you know, writing is already almost difficult, but when you're writing a novel or a nonfiction book, when you're trying to get all the information in the way that it should be put, you know, sometimes that's not as easy when you started it and you got to start over, you know. Cause so it's kind of like they took pictures. I mean, they even got my business information. They got my tax ID information. They got my business tax ID information. I had a camcorder. I had all that with me because when I came from Sacramento, I already had it, and I said I was going to need it. So I just never unpacked it because I didn't really feel that I needed to unpack it because it was in with my books and everything that I knew that I keep close to me. But to actually have you get robbed, and then they didn't break a glass, they didn't pop a lock, they had to use the Slim Jam. I don't know, but there was no noticeable detection that the car had been broken into.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry that happened, and we're going to make sure that you advertise that as many times as possible tonight. You know, and about trying to get the sales going and stuff.
We want to try to. When we have so many things coming up that it kind of put a damper on a couple of things that we're now trying to make sure that we get to after that, you know, because a lot of us make our money off of books and our CD sales, you know, between just the book sales, the books, you know, it was over $300 worth of books and CDs that they got away with between his and mine, so, you know.
They took the book and the CDs.
They took everything. They ain't even.
You know, I wanted to make that conference, and I couldn't because my brother had emergency surgery, so I didn't make that. But he had a quadruple, and he's doing fine though. So
that's good.
All those people that didn't know that was in Facebook and everything good prayers and stuff. I appreciate that. So before we go any further, I see we may have another individual here. Area code 713. I think I know who this is, but what's your name? Where you calling from?
Cody, from Texas.
Was this again? Sorry.
It's Melody Red.
I knew it was you, baby. I just wanted to make sure. Somebody's in the background talking shit. I don't know who it is back to.
Yeah, they sound mad as hell.
That was GPA saying, what's up, Snapper?
All right. My man sounded mad. He was like hostile for a minute.
He has a great idea. He wants to run by you, Snapper. So. Yeah.
You want to run it now or you want to do it later on?
No, he's going to do it later. He just walked out the door.
Okay, well, you have him do this. So when is the wedding? That's what I want to know.
No. No.
Okay, we're fucking with you. Okay. Melanie, how you doing, sweetheart?
Hi, Melanie.
I'm good, Red. How are you? Hey.
You are doing
everybody.
Fine. You're doing just fine. We're glad to have you. So we'll be getting with you here in a minute.
Melody.
I know you didn't really want to be on the show, but you know when your number pops up, you're on the show. So
I'll participate tonight. That's cool.
Yeah, because look at the next 19 minutes. After this 19 minutes, we'll be getting into our subject that DV has proposed, and we're going to be talking about that. I think it's going to be a good subject,
cool.
And we're not going to announce what it is until then. But, we're going to do that. And, Drika,
yes. You're
welcome to be in this, too, since you write books. This is a subject that all authors are near and dear to them, and we'll be talking about.
Sure, I'll stick around.
I guess I can go ahead and say what it is. We're going to be talking about character development and how you come up with your characters and things you can do or don't do in your character development and how you create these characters. So we're going to be talking about that.
Okay.
Evie's going to lead that, and we're going to go with that. But, I just wanted to get, say to you, Drika, if there's anything else you wanted to talk about. I mean, I know you say you got the new book. And if anybody wanted to get the book, how could they do that? We'll go ahead and let you do that real quick. Tell them how you get that.
As of right now, to get the book, you would go to
Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com. Just type in my name, Drika Armstrong, Drika being spelled D-R-I-C-A. It'll pull up every book that I have. I'm making a new website, new and improved. So those are about the only two ways you can buy it, or you can find me on Facebook. Red Snapper knows how to find me on Facebook, so you can go through him or you can go through me, get a good read in. Guarantee you change your life.
All right. Well, you know, I've got to say this. You know, I got to bring some positiveness to the show. I mean, not that it wasn't before, but what damn cruise I went on for my birthday, that shit was off the damn chain. Let me tell you right now. I know everybody talks about the Tom Joyner cruise and all that shit, but ain't nothing like the KC two-step cruise, because we was doing our thing, two-step, okay? And I'm definitely going back next year because they're going to Jamaica for 7 days from the 1st to the 6th of September of 2013. So anybody interested want to go, we're going to be doing our thing. We was in the Bahamas and everything, and Nassau. I mean, damn, them chocolate women down there, boy, I don't even want to get into it. Anyway. It was absolutely magnificent. I had a great time. A great way to spend my birthday on the seas. And I tell you, I mean, the damn boat is off the chain, DB. I mean, it's just, the talent is just too much. I don't even know what to say.
Man, I believe.
We should come up with a cruise. We should do that for some of these authors. Get together and let's do something together.
Yes.
I would love that.
I agree.
Yeah. We can set that up and have a, like an author's deal. We can get there and talk shit and be on the boat, whatever, and, you know, come up with some ideas. But one thing you must remember, everything that happens on the boat stays on the boat. Don't be bringing that shit back.
You already know that ain't going to work. Not with no Facebook. Please, soon as they touch the dock, let me tell you about day one, this, 4th, and 5th. Man, please, Facebook will know about stuff before we even hit the dock.
Man.
Well, you know, it's because people have, if they got their phones on like a dumbass while they're on the boat, they're going to get roaming charges. Second, it's going to tell you, if they got that roaming thing that tells you where you are, it's going to tell you where you are. So people don't know
you're talking about as soon as you dock, as soon as you hit port, they're going to be like, boop, 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 boop.
Right.
Because I know I had mine on for a minute, and it showed me in Half Moon Cay, Bahamas, and I had to turn that on real quick because that roaming, that you know, it will kill you.
Yeah,
what, $15 a minute?
Yeah, that roaming charge ain't no joke.
You got to turn your phone off. Now, if you want to use it, you got to take it. Now, if you have the kind that has a chip in it or something, you want to take that chip out, you can still use your phone to take pictures. But, you know, you want to make sure that you're not making no calls and make sure you got a passport, because there were some people that got left that only had birth certificates. And guess what? You can't leave the town. You can't leave the city or the country unless you got that birth certificate. So you better make sure you do that. But I'm going to tell you, I love cruising. I'm going to make it an annual thing for me, whether, you know, and what was fun about it, I did it by myself. I mean, although I was with a group of people from Kansas City, it was 300 of us. But, I mean, I had my own.
That's
phone.
Not a group. That's riot gear right there.
Everywhere you go, is who you
that's
with?
That's a village.
That is a tribe right there.
Yeah, we did it all. We had a white woman party. We had a 70s party. We had everything. Everybody was trying to follow us because they wanted to do what we were doing. So it was a great experience. I'm definitely going to go to Jamaica next year. They're going to Cayman Islands, Jamaica, and they're going to go to Key West. We're going to go to several spots and party like it ain't no end. So that's what we're going to do.
That's what I'm talking about. Count me in. I want to go.
You can. I mean, all you got to do, if you really want to do this, is and go on a cruise with us, you go to Magic107.3.com, and they have the two-step and cruise there. You can do everything through there, through Carnival. And that's how we do it. And you pay in payments. You don't have to pay everything at once. You can pay it in installments and have it done. I'm going to get me I had an ocean view this time, but the next time I'm going to have a balcony because I want to be on the damn balcony while the boat's rolling and shit.
No.
Whoever wants to be with me. Anyway, we'll be doing that. This is how we roll. So,
I mad at it.
So, you know, make sure that happens. And, Cotton, if you want to go, I got a spot for you. We can make sure that happens.
I'm in.
Okay. Well, we're going to do this. Are you bringing your guests? Are you going to leave them here? No, I'm just
playing. I can only be concerned about myself right now.
Ain't that right?
I know that's right. I mean, because my room is only for me and whoever. That's how I roll.
Too much.
means your room, that means your room is going to be full, huh, Red?
No, not really. It wasn't full this time, but you know, I'll tell you what. But you know, I'm going to do that cruise, but if we did one for ourselves, that'd be nice too, you know. Because it'd be, you know, we could do some stuff, take our books and sell them on the boat, read, you know, I mean, people, you know, they'll do it. So, all right, DV, we got 13 minutes for the next segment, piece of the segment. Are you ready to get started, or you want to, how you want to do this?
You know what? I can hold off because, you know, this is kind of one of those touchy subjects that, you know how I do it. I'm a get people talking. So, I can already wait to next segment.
Well, but we got 13 minutes, so.
Well, if you need me as a filler, I can get it started.
No, well, we'll start in about 12 minutes because we got Melanie here, and I know she got some new projects. So, Melanie, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you got going on real quick, and then by the time you get done with that, we'll be ready to grow into DV's little piece.
Well, actually, I have the same mood ring project that I'm still, I know people who are writing for me, I'm going to have to send the police, I don't know. But I'm going to be collecting stories pretty soon here. I know, it's, you know, the summer is always busy and people are promoting, so I haven't bothered anybody. I myself have been busy. I actually stepped up my editing and design work. So I actually have a poet that I'm editing from the UK. I designed two of his book covers, and I'm going to lay out the inside of his book. So that's my newest, me singly. That's my thing. And I also have two fiction books that I'm editing. One's a young adult. So that actually is what has been the newest with me. I do still intend on me personally, I need, like I said before, I need about three of me to get done what I really want to get done. because it's just a lot of stuff that you want to have, but I got to slow down.
While I have you here, that idea about the relationship book you still want to do is...
I really still want to do that.
So we want to do that.
I still want to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll come together before the end of this year, though. I think we need to start planning to put this out, like, for next year, by summer or spring.
I agree with you.
So let's do this because I really want to get this out there. I mean, it was a great idea, and I think we really want to get this out there. And
I think we may have to have a powwow, like a phone powwow or something in person.
We need to do that. Yeah, we can do a conference. I have no issue or problem with that. Yeah. So we'll set that up.
Okay.
And let's get that going so we can really do this. Because, I don't want to just say that and then we don't do it. I really want this book to come out and, you know, we can do
this. I do, too. I think, absolutely. It's great theme work, you know, as far as even, like you were talking about, cruising, you know, relationships and having powwows about that and just, you know, bringing people together.
Because I got a book. I definitely have a book
like
from the cruise.
That's a great theme. That's a great theme. That's a great theme.
Man, it was a whole bunch of shit going on that boat. I'm going to tell you, boy, I'm going to write this damn book, and it's going to be off the damn chain. I don't know what I'm going to call it. I don't know what I'm going to call it.
I can't imagine.
I was thinking about calling
it. Please let me know when,
because
I definitely
write. That book is going to be off the chain, because that boat, man, I tell you. I know Pink already wrote the book called Chocolate Ship, but this boat, I don't know. Shit. This book here might be a little different. A little bit more raw than hers, so. But yeah,
real life.
Yeah, because I think hers is more like the Tom Joyner cruise or something like that. I'm not sure, but anyway, you know, to me those cruises are good. You got all these celebrities and stuff on there, but to me it's too much exposure. And I'm gonna say, like, I think it's too many black folks. I like the way it was when I went, with just our little people doing our little thing, and everybody was, the white folks was wobbling on the damn deck and shit, looking at us trying to do the wobble. And all of that, and it was just fun because they were trying to follow what we were doing, and I liked that. You know, people that was black that wasn't part of Kansas City was like from California said, can we hang out with y'all? You know, I like that. So when you got the boat, Tom Joyner, everybody's on there, they all black, and they all got the same thing. I think it's just I don't know.
Too much. It's too much blackness all in one time.
Those who like it, if you hear that, they're going to be cruising in April. So, I mean, they're already getting people now. But I don't want to do that. To me, that's a little bit too much. I don't want to see Luda on the damn on the shore and all this shit. Snoop Dogg on the boat doing some shit. I don't want to see that. That's me personally. Everybody else might want to see that. You know, they might want to see some celebrity walking around or whatever. I was a celebrity on this damn boat. Shit, I was motherfuckers. They know Red Snapper now.
Oh my goodness.
I know you did. I'm a friend to ask.
Well, hey, if they didn't know you then, they know you now. They probably know you when you come back. That's Red over there. Come on, Red. Come on, snap for us. You didn't mess around and let people know who you was. Now they're going to be looking for you. Next crew you go on.
Wow.
Like that.
Oh, Cotton, you want to go on the cruise or what?
Absolutely.
Okay. She's saying yes on the radio. I'm putting that for my. Yeah, she's saying that, but I don't know. Cause I'm going to tell you, the last person I asked to go on a cruise with me, they reneged.
I've never been on a cruise, so.
And they wasn't even paying this shit. They got a boyfriend in between saying yes to me and going. I guess he got pissed off because he found out, and so they didn't go.
Oh, yeah, well. I don't have that issue.
I heard it on the radio. Y'all heard what she said. I heard that shit. I'm going to see what's going to happen, because when September 1st, my birthday, when we pull out of port, if she's going to be on the boat with me or not. I have to see that for myself, because I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'll be there.
I'll probably be there
before you. I'll be camping out in front of your house.
Fort Lauderdale the 31st. That's where we're shipping out of. We're gonna leave Fort. We're gonna spend the night in Fort Lauderdale, and then after that, it's on and popping. We was in Miami this last trip. I mean, that damn Miami is off the damn chain. That damn South Beach. I had been there before, but this is in rare form because it was Labor Day weekend, and everything you can think of was out there walking around on the streets.
Oh, I can believe it.
I mean,
Miami?
And they still wearing bathing suits that time of year?
Yeah. Hey, it was all kind of shit happening, man. It was fun, though.
I'm glad you got a chance to get out and have a good time. I got a chance, I was going to say, I got a chance to meet T.L. James and Miss Jean Holloway. So, you
know,
they
crazy.
New folks, crazy.
We had such a good time.
Right. I wanted to make that, but, you know, my brother's emergency surgery, I didn't know, you know, of course, I didn't know that was going to happen, but, I missed this conference, man. Huh?
There was only three other men in the whole thing.
Who was all there? I mean, if you don't mind me asking.
T.L. James was there. Pink was there. Has she been on your radio show before?
Man, you know,
yeah.
She was on here. You know, she been on. She was the one that was going crazy about saying it was all about me and shit. And
that's what I thought. And her name sounded familiar. Yeah, that's
Pink
what I
was
thought.
Yeah.
She's the one that got pissed off when Mary B. Morrison was on the show. Said that I was taking over about me and it wasn't about the show anymore and all that.
That's why her name sounded familiar. I don't think she recognized me because it was. I didn't get on the panel at all. I wasn't part of the panel at all.
Who were the guys that were there?
It was just I don't remember the guy's name, but it was a Candy Rain and brought her husband, so that was one guy, and then GPA, and then another gentleman, Arthur, showed up from St.
Okay.
Louis. So
okay,
that was
no
it.
Problem. Damn, all women. Who was the women?
Oh my gosh, there was so many. We had Candy Rain. We had Chris Benet.
Who?
Yeah, Chris Renee, she was there. Oh my God, Mary Monroe was there, of course. It was a lot of Arthurs, and then you know, book club people were there.
Of course, nobody was looking for me, I know. And
they were. Your name was mentioned a few times. LaShonda, you know, LaShonda was there. Of course, Tanisha Webb, who put it on, she was there. Tiffany came. Tiffany is a very pleasant lady. But, you know, they're not Arthur's. They're, well, I think Tanisha is, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got the book out called How to Be a Fucking Book Club. The book club, oh, no, that was the name of it. Let me stop.
She's about to stab you in your temple. They said, we see you, you can be shit about it.
I was wrong because if she hear my show, she'll cuss me out. No.
Yeah, for real.
You say this right. The name of her book is called The Ultimate Book Club Experience. A Complete Book Club Resource Guide by Tanisha Webb. Okay. I'm sorry, Tanisha, if you're listening, because I don't want you to go off on me, even though you owe me money. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
She's going to kill you.
Yeah, she's coming for you. She's coming for you next show. She's coming.
She's going to come after me. I'm sorry, Tanisha. Please don't do it, baby. Anyway.
Well,
right,
she said
so,
she's not going to do this next year. She said she's going to break it down for us every other year instead. So next year she won't be.
It's a lot of money doing that shit.
A lot of work.
And a lot of work.
Yeah. It is. And she had a few people helping her, which was really great. Like Tiffany, I don't remember Tiffany's last name, but she was very helpful. And Tiffany was one of the people who I think she bought almost every Arthur's book that was there. She bought at least one book from each author.
Where was Tiffany from? Is she from Atlanta?
She's from, I want to say she's from Missouri. She's from some part of Missouri. I don't know if it's Tennessee, Missouri, but she wasn't from St. Louis. But I know she was from Missouri because we talked about that.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry I didn't make it because I really wanted to come down and I would have been the damn highlight. Well, GPA still was a highlight because he was the man and shit. But
he was the only poetry person there.
Well, you know, he would have been the Mark Lacy that, you know, because they had Mark Lacy there before.
Yes,
he was on his mind. So, he's my frat brother, so I'm going to talk shit about him. But anyway, he was in that role this time. Okay.
All right.
So, I would have been the erotic guy, which
yes,
he would have probably been into a fight with me or some shit. But anyway.
Yes.
Get back to you. Didn't hear me say that. Anyway. Okay. So, DB, we got 1 minute before we get into your part of the show. So, we got 1 minute. We're going to be talking about character development and characters. And I know this is one of your areas, so we're going to be definitely talking about that here. And, matter of fact, let's go ahead and get on that.
Well, you know me, Red. I like to rant. So I'm going to make this like DB's little rant. All right, so y'all bear with me. I didn't have a title for this like I did last week, so I'm going to just go ahead and basically start it. All right, Jay-Z basically proudly proclaimed at one time, I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Therein lies my problem. Bitches, or rather lit bitches, if you like to get technical. For that fact, add in lit Negroes, too. Here's my dilemma. As black people, a great deal of us already have a unique or interesting name. But when we translate these names to a book, we get names for men like Juvie, Kapenzi, Raynell, and Jadeer. And for women, we get Delisha, Creamy, Juicy, Cleopatra, Honey Candy, and Cheyenne, spelled with a S-C-H. Pocahontas, Teresha, and yes, Lot Nasha. What the fuck is this? What the hell is a Lot Nasha? Seriously, if I have to read names like these 100 times during the course of a book, shouldn't I be able to stab an author in the hand and then the neck?
Worst of all,
this is just a small sample of the ugly, retarded, and unimagined names we use when we look at white people and wonder why they don't read our books. Hell, you try saying Lot Nasha a few hundred times and you get sick of reading that shit too. I'm not saying characters shouldn't be unique, but names have always had an impactful meaning. But most of these eloquently named characters only have one or two real meanings. The first being, I'm a bad bitch / hooker / stripper / drug dealer side piece whose nickname just happens to also be my real name. Or two, I'm an author with no imagination who searches the dictionary for adjectives that end in Y so they can then make the last letter an I, an IA, or A, or some other asinine eyeball sequence to make it special. And special it is. The short yellow bus with bars on the window type of special. Secondly, I would also like to chastise black authors and their black, quotations, characters. Tell me if you read about this black woman. She's mixed with something else so that she has hazel green, gray, light brown, and or blue eyes. Two, she's so light that she's practically transparent. Or three, she has hair down to her black, down to her back. I don't know about you, but the overwhelming amount of black women I know, whether they live in the suburbs, and especially if they live in the hood, do not look like this. We see enough whitewashing on TV, so why, black authors, are we doing the same things in our books? You do the black woman a great disservice by claiming you love her yourself or love her so dearly, but then stigmatize dark-skinned women or brown-skinned women as somehow unattractive, then making them either crackheads, loud, obnoxious, or hood while making their light counterparts desirable and sophisticated. Too many times we paint that portrait when it isn't warranted and certainly ain't fair. Brown and darker-skinned women are some of the baddest-looking women on the planet. And if you want the media to stop perpetrating that myth, stop fucking helping them. Don't put salacious, hood-rich brown women on your cover and then have the main character one shade away from being white. If you love yourself and truly enjoy black women, don't you think it's about time our literature actually represented that?
Hey, I like this shit. You know why I like it? Because the shit is fucking true.
But you are correct.
I'm going to put this out right now before you go any further on these characters. This black woman is like kryptonite to my ass. If you want to get me fucked up, you bring me a chocolate woman and I'm done. It's out there. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, okay. You are correct. I will not lie to you. I will not lie. You are correct. You definitely are correct. And I can tell you one of the reasons I see that happening, which is not fair at all. In some way, shape, and form, somebody has let us, black, African American, however you want to distinguish yourself, someone has put in our mind that you got to be high yellow and light skinned to be beautiful. It seems like being dark-skinned now, it's like, oh, it's almost like a taboo. I have to admit, and I am guilty of doing this too, I have never had or has seen a person make one of their primary characters a heavy-set woman with
right.
short hair who need a perm. No, what you see is a woman that's 5'6", slender, pretty hair down to her back, as you say, got gorgeous eyes. And the reason why we make our characters this, you know, this beautiful is because we know a black man and a black woman is not making no baby that's going to look like she high yellow with brown or hazel eyes unless she got something mixed somewhere up in yonder in her family. So to bring your character out, to make your readers pull into the book from the very cover, from the very word, the sentence, the very first sentence or paraphrase in your book, you want to drag that reader in like it's a coke habit, and you're going to do what you can to make sure that coke is desirable. If you got to make your character slender and light-skinned with hazel, blue, green, or red eyes, why so be it. It's almost like what you see on TV. Would you buy a car if you saw some woman as big as Big Bertha trying to model a G-string, or would you like someone like Janet Jackson whose body is nice and slim, hips, abs, ass, all this, model in a G-string? You going to tell that big bitch, sit down. That's not for you. Take that off.
Bro.
You got my stomach churning. Janet Jackson, walk your ass back on and model that good. I'm going to buy that because Janet Jackson is wearing it. Somebody told us this is how it's acceptable, but it's not just men
who are doing that. Women are doing that.
Women
and
are
so
the majority
makes,
of the authors.
Right,
you know,
mm-hmm.
overwhelming.
They're the ones doing that. The books that I looked at over the weekend, I saw a lot of that. A lot of that cover, and these are women sitting in here mm-hmm. with these. Books. Me personally, I put myself on. My characters reflect anybody. My poetry reflects anybody, and I'm on my book because I am the most. I'm the person that wrote it. So, you know, and I'm thick. I wear weave,
oh,
and this is who
that.
I am.
I never
understand why people go out of. You may as well go ahead and put a white person on the cover if that's
yeah,
you might as well.
Definitely correct.
I think that, in my opinion, I think it it runs really deep because I think it's decades of conditioning. You know, way back when, even in the 50s and, well, 60s, early 70s, when they, you know, when the Afro was unnatural, it was tribal, it was ugly, and, you know, introduced the straightened comb and the relaxer and things like that. There have been, you know, the systematic breakdown of Black woman beauty. And the first, you know, the deepest, I think, breakdown, you know, in belief of what is beautiful is the complexion. It is the easiest way to judge somebody. It's the easiest way to categorize them. And unfortunately for the Black woman, especially the dark-skinned Black woman, that is the first element of beauty that went, replaced by exotic, like you say. That's the most recent politically correct word. Mixed, even, you know, they've gone everywhere on the planet but back to Africa. They've gone everywhere else. Everything else is exotic. Asian, South American, you know, the butts are Brazilian now. All of these things, you know, they've systematically taken away our beauty. And I think this, that conditioning, like I said, like you say, I agree. Even editing, I see, you know, the characters, and nobody seems to be proud of who they are. And I think it's sad, and I think it's definitely a sign of the times. You know, music has abandoned Black beauty. You look at the videos in the 90s, and you saw nothing but dark-skinned Black women with big hoop earrings, shapely bodies. They were classy. They were desirable. They were desired by the artists singing about them. And now what you got? Booty clapping the pole, dollars in the air. I don't even know you see face of the chicks anymore. All you see is their butts, their backs, and hair. You know, it is, and they're light skin, or they're exotic looking, or that you have to, like, half the video trying to figure out where exactly is she from, because nobody, even now in 2012, even with the reemergence of natural hair and people really trying to abandon a lot of the conditioning about what beautiful is, you know, here it is. I don't know if it's art imitating life. I think it is, where now you've got these young readers carrying what they have been taught is desirable or beautiful is now being reflected in writing. And it is. It is. You can read Amazon. Read
okay, man, we get
on
it.
Amazon. I would do
like, damn.
But you know what's so strange about what Cotton said? And Cotton, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because you said that you're on your own book covers. Strange enough, I had a book idea about a young lady who got scarred. She had a very large scar on a part of her body that, you know, she had to overcome, and it was circumstances around that scar. But I wanted to be on the cover of my own for this particular book. I have a scar down the middle of my stomach from a stomach surgery, from an ulcer many years ago. When I went to get myself together to be on this cover, this person told me, shouldn't you get a person who's, like, maybe, like, a bit taller or, like, a little thinner? Because I was going to only show from my neck down to my stomach. I wasn't showing no other part. The basis of this story is about how this young lady in this book got this scar. I have a scar. Why not use myself? And I was told, no, using yourself, you need to attract your audience. You having a scar, how is that going to attract the audience? Damn it, the book is about a woman with a scar. So what's the problem? And they literally told me I couldn't do it, and I couldn't find a photographer to take a picture of my scar.
To me, this is the ultimate hypocrisy. We sit up there and point at, you know, the quote-unquote media for making us look bad when we don't even represent ourselves the way that we're supposed to represent ourselves. You know, you have Black authors who won't even write about characters who got the same skin color and who look exactly like them. You know, I'm a history major, so, like, I know all about the history of where, you know, the Hispanic people came from. The reason why they're as dark and as light as we are, and why they have the same pigmentation and usually the same diseases, is because the Northern African, pretty much everybody in that region was together. You know what I'm saying? When Hannibal marched, you know, to take out Rome, the reason why the Spanish people exist is because when they ran from Rome, they settled on the Iberian Peninsula, which is now Spain and Portugal, you know. So ultimately, we're sitting up there, you're saying how beautiful these people are when they're us. They just speak Spanish. That's the only difference.
You're right.
You know, and mm-hmm. but this is the thing. We sit there and talk about how beautiful and how exotic they are. They are us. You know,
exactly.
And the worst part about it is. The worst part about it is we got more brown skin, black skin authors than probably ever in the history of man writing books, which is great. They don't even write characters that look like them. Every other character that they write is 10 shades lighter than them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then they want to point fingers at everybody else talking about how we're depicted, you know, incorrectly. Well, if you feel you're being depicted incorrectly, why not have masses of people write the correct depiction of how you want to be instead of you writing about somebody else who you deem prettier because they have light eyes?
Right.
Speaking.
And that's part of the problem is that some of these authors don't love themselves, because I've gotten a few books where I'm reading, the cover is one person, and then you flip it over the back and be like, wait a minute. Well, I thought, okay. And the inside is not reflecting who the author is at all. Like, I want to know that when I picked up this book that I'm looking at the right person, because now I'm confused. You know, and
well,
that goes for anybody else. So when I decided to put a book out there, I'm like, now why would I put another person's picture on my product? Why would you do that? Calvin Klein's not going to do that. Calvin Klein and Donna, none of those people do that. It's their emblem. It's their face. It's whatever they have going. Why would you as an author want somebody else trying to depict who you are as a woman or as a person on the outside or the inside of that book?
You need somebody to drag it in.
You're trying to attract the crowd, but if you know you have a good product, you cannot put a picture on the front, you cannot put a picture of a person on the front, or you can, you know what I'm saying, use yourself. Be proud of who you are.
I think it's a gimmick.
Well, yeah, I think it depends on what it is that you're writing, too. I mean, I agree with everything y'all just said. Everything y'all said, I agree with. You know, but I think it also depends on what you're writing, you know, Clay. Like, in my example, and I'm guilty of this, too, so I'm not going to say that I haven't done this, because the characters in the first five book series that I did were Creole, so they had a mix, you know. But not every character in my book was a mix. Not every woman in my book had green eyes or hazel eyes or everything. I mean, there's all types of characters in my books. There's Asian characters, there's dark skinned females, males, whatever. I mean, there's all types, white, whatever. But, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying, and coming up with this, and we can't depict ourselves or whatever. We need to go back to that. And I think that, you know, I agree with everything you're saying. I love women. Like I said, it's my kryptonite, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. I love y'all. And I'm not trying to get away with it. You know, but the thing is, you're right. We need to, if we're going to represent us, we need to do it in a light. And like you said, what these people are doing in these books is, if you're dark-skinned, they're making you the thug. If you're light-skinned, you got money. You know,
but isn't that what we're doing?
The house nigga versus the damn slave in the field and shit. You know,
we're going to perpetuate that myth.
But that's what we're doing in real life. We're treating light skin better than dark skin, that are in between, this kind of falls in between. But that's been going on. But we're doing it to each other. So I don't expect somebody that's not of my race to treat me any differently than. Actually, they treat me better, but I'm not going to go there. But my own race doesn't even treat me accordingly. So why do I expect somebody else to? So I don't. When I hear people saying, well, I don't like dark skin, but you're dating a dark skin person, or I don't like light skin, but you're dating a light skin person, and that's
yeah.
what you constantly keep running after. So if we're
you talking about
we
your
can't
preference.
Stop doing it to yeah, mm-hmm. you can't stop doing it to yourself. Then how can we expect other people to look at us any differently?
I know friends. I have male friends who, because they were chastised, they're darker skinned. Because they were chastised and called names in school. You remember those names, African booty scratcher and
mm-hmm.
all those
yeah.
other little things that
mm-hmm.
people said.
Baby.
They now actively look for people lighter than them, and vice versa. Dudes I know who are high yellow are actively looking for darker women so that, you know, they feel that their kids won't get chastised for being next to white. And it's just like, that's not even, you're not even thinking right, because you're like, okay, well, that's not what I prefer, but I don't want my kids to go through these things.
Exactly. You
know,
you don't want to be bothered with having nappy-headed kids, so you figure
right.
If you find a woman who got good hair, then there's a 50% chance that your child will come out with curly baby hair all throughout their life. It's a wrong assumption, but people do it.
But think of how shallow that is.
We may have a caller that's calling in with a question, 816 area code. You have a question. I know you're calling from somewhere in Missouri, Kansas City, or maybe. You have a question? If you don't hang up, please. We just wanted to know if you had a question.
Like,
I want you to believe the shit. Okay, if you don't, then that's fine. All right. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, y'all.
Hello?
But I mean, I think you're absolutely correct, and especially with these I call them hooga booga names. What is with these hooga booga names that be going on? Like, I think it's because when you writing a hood book, and let's be clear, most of these people writing these hood books ain't stepped 2 foot in the hood, but now all of a sudden you call yourself a connoisseur of the ghetto. I don't understand it. Watching Good Times do not make you a connoisseur of the ghetto. Let's just get that on out there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get these names. Yo, his name was Halib Khalid. His name was Halib Khalid, right? And what is a Halib Khalid? Is this dude Muslim? What is with these names?
That's
what
I'm saying.
What is with these names that you giving our people? Why? What's wrong with Clarence or Jonathan? What, they're not hood enough?
Clearly
they
not.
Gangsta?
In fact, they're not even nicknames. Like, these are the names of the women. Like, I'm going to run down the names of the women I found.
Bone
and
Felicia.
These were actual names from books. Delicia, Creamy, Tertia, T-E-R-S-H-I-A,
Juicy
Pocahontas, Pocahontas, Kiona, Treasure, Cleopatra, Syesha.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is spelled S-Y-E-E-S-H-A, and Chyanna. I don't know if it's China, but it's spelled C-H-Y-A-N-N-A. And I'm like,
China. Oh, my Jesus.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, China is spelled with either an I or a Y. What the hell does China need two N's
for? Why are you naming your kids someplace you ain't never going to know? You're going to name your child
but
something you ain't never going to
see. Think, these names are idiotic at best. And you have people pumping out books with these ignorant names. Hell, even the dude's name, Jahdere, J-A-H-D-E-R-E, who the fuck? Like that.
Well, you think about it. These are some names that people actually are naming their children. So
man, I was done when I
so
hit Lot Nasha.
Like, it's not so far from the truth, because you got people out there naming their kids. They figure, okay, well, look, you know, I got, you know, prime example. I got a cousin. His name is James. His girlfriend, her name is Yanira. They named it Kyle Jakaya. What the fuck is that? These hugga booga names is overflowing our community. My name, Federica, is not a hood name. It's a very simple name. It's German. You can find my name in a baby book. But you get people, I'm going to name my baby Bonquisha. Her name going to be Rashadik. What the hell is a Rashadik? What is a Rashadik?
Let's go back to it. Let me put a little history in here, because I have a history degree as well. I know my man, he said he studied history. Well, let's just do this. Now, back in the day when people used to name names, we'll go biblical a little bit on it. They had meaning behind the names and why they named the child certain things. A lot of times, and I'm not trying to be historical, I mean, not historical, but religious on you, but I'm going to say this. People be naming these names. They don't know if they're naming their names of a demon or something. I mean, they can come up with these fucking names. They don't know what the fuck they're naming their kids. It can mean go out here and kill everybody. The name could be murder or something in another language. They don't know. They just put it together to sound good. Then they ain't remembering that the kid got to get a job someday. Hell, that shit's on a damn fucking resume. Who the hell gonna interview Shaniqua or some
with
shit?
But you already know. You already know who Shaniqua is as soon as you get her application. You know what I'm saying? And that's just real. But, like, I'm not even going to take it. I'm just going to keep it inside the realm of books. You know, I don't want to get out and, you know, into the real world. But just think about it. You know, they're automatically mixing up. It's like an amalgamation of names. And they say, hey, that sounds good. I'm going to mix these two names together, and that's just going to be the name of my character. And it's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible name choice. But now, overwhelmingly, once you get out of a certain section you know, the bookstore, the names get progressively better. But, they, like, I have yet to open up a Chinese book and have a black person with the name, you know, Juvie. You know what I'm saying? It's just what it is. Why are we doing Star Sales?
That's not a nickname. That's the person's name.
That's the person's name. I can understand. Because remember, when we, like, all the rappers that I grew up with from the 90s, you know, we thinking they got these hard names. They got names like Ronald, Ralph. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
DMX, well, I thought he was the hardest. I was like, oh, that dude just, he had just raped somebody. His name is Earl.
His name is
Earl. You know what I'm saying? Ice Cube. His name is O'Shea. You know what I'm saying?
Look at Ice-T. His name is Tracy.
But that's what I'm saying. These dudes got regular names. So then you look at these books. These not even nicknames. These are their actual real names that they carry through the course of the book. And it's just like it's ignorance at its most sincere. It's like, well, I wrote a good book, but all your characters' names suck.
But they have to make it believable. Like a person like myself, I was never born or raised in a hood. I cannot authentically write a hood novel because I have not lived a hood life. I never had to succumb to not eating. I never had to be put on a corner by my mother who was on drugs. I never had that. I have both parents in a home, middle class home. But for people who have lived and breathed it, right? And for people who had lived and breathed the hood, whose parents been on food stamps, welfare, had it hard coming up, really had to struggle. Now that they done got somewhere, they want to reiterate to us what their lifestyle was about. But for it to become believable, you got to go the next step up. Your hood name, who back in the day, you may have had a hood in your town name, D-Nice. D's Nice name may have been Daryl. No, that was back in the day.
Or Donald.
You got to do New Millennium Hood. This dude's name was, man, his name was Monster. No, his nickname, nah, Monster, because when this dude came out, his dad was a monster in jail, so he wanted Monster Junior, MJ for short. What the hell is this? They got to take Hood to a new octave and make it believable, because there will be people reading this like, this don't sound authentic. We ain't had no lights in our building. They ain't got no mobile unit outside. I ain't hear him mention about no bodega. This book ain't authentic. This author fake. And then that author being known as fake, he can't sell no hood book nowhere. So they got to make sure they write it believable. We think it's a crock of shit, but the people that's really sitting there in the hood spending their welfare checks on these books, girl, he was right. We ain't had no mobile unit, girl. His lights was out. The light company turned his lights out. It's going to always be that way. Nobody will take the step and say, you know what, let's stop this right now. Let's not degrade and demean our people in these books. Let's tell how it really is. People don't want that. They want fantasy. If they want reality, they live their own life. They don't want that. They want fantasy. They want to escape from their 9-to-5 and take a trip on down in the hood. For what? Just
there's
drive
nothing
down
wrong with
free.
Fantasy, but you don't have to you don't have to settle for ignorance in fantasy. That was the whole point of books, to escape your reality and go into fantasy. But the fantasy is supposed to be better than the reality. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean that you have to wallow in ignorance in order to achieve that.
Well, you know where I can take that, DB. Just like in my books, I know it's a different genre than hood. I mean, you know, like any erotic book. You know, like I said, this comes up all the time. The review I got about safe sex in the damn book. Okay, if it's a fantasy, then what's the word about safe sex for? You got people talking about really bad reviews because the person didn't put a condom on, or they didn't take a birth control pill, or they didn't do something, you know. I mean, but I understand what you're saying about the names and stuff. We need to be more real. But then I understand what you're saying, too, Drika, about people wanting to escape into this whatever world, and they think it is. You know, because believe it or not, there are some white people reading this shit. There are some other people that's reading this, and they think that this is what hood is. If we're going to give it to them, we need to give it to them correctly and not just, like you said, I agree with you with the names, but I don't know.
But
I don't know how we can keep it. That's just like the covers. We talk about the covers having the damn skyline and the car in the front and the woman, you know, I mean.
Exactly.
But wait, but you guys have to think about this. Is there any other group of people besides us that in their novels they regularly denigrate their own people?
No.
No.
I have read a number of Stephen King novels,
And then you even have some African American novels, like I have read a few Eric Jerome Dickey books. I don't recall him ever degrading his people. I don't. I can almost recall almost all the books he's written, and I can never recall him degrading his people. There are a lot of us out there who, like, prime example, with these books, it's like we're broadcasting the negativity of what a lot of us have seen. Some of us have not seen the inside of a hood. Some of us have. But why are you glorifying it? And then you're glorifying it, and you're making people believe we really name our children Bonquisha. You really start to believe that.
I think what it is you got to look at, too, and I'm not trying to take up for them, but I'm going to say this. The demographic that you're trying to reach, just like you were using Eric, my frat brother, I have to mention that. His books don't have, if you look at the characters, if you read the characters that he has in his books, they really don't have a race. And that's what I try to write when I now write the new things that I'm doing now. I'm not trying to put a race on it. I want you to read the book, and whatever you think it is, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his books do that. That's why he's a New York Times bestseller all the time, because when white people read his books, they're not seeing black or whatever. They're seeing themselves in the character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to learn how to do, instead of putting always got to have a black face or whatever on the front or whatever you're going to do. You know, sometimes, like the next book, I'm thinking about not having no face on it. I just want to put a cover, maybe a black cover with some writing, and that's it.
And strange enough, someone did that a couple years ago, Dutch.
Matter of fact, what's her name? Dutch did that, but also, what's her name? The female that I like, the author, what's her name? Just had a fire in her house. Monique Minza. Anyway, she done that with her last book, Nemesis. You know, she wrote it in Greek. It was Nemesis in Greek. And that was it.
Well, Nemesis was a Greek demigod.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying she wrote it in Greek as well, so.
Right. It played off the alliteration, right.
Right. So
here is
not,
what. But here is what is going to happen by us, by if we start to take a stand, one person can't do it by themselves. If we collectively, like if you take one person and they take a stand to this, because 90% of the people reading our books are our own people. 90% of the people reading our books is our own people. If you stray from the formula and you just have a normal cover, you have yourself on your cover, you may not be the sexiest person in the world, but who are you trying to be sexy to? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, not everybody looking at me. But somebody may see me on the cover and say, you know what, Drika, you're not beautiful enough. This cover is not attracting me at all. I'm going to put your book down. My book could be the best-selling thing next to cooked bread. But nobody won't see it. They can't get past that cover. They need that instant illusion to like, oh, my God, I got, okay, all right. They need that instant illusion. As long as people can say, okay, let me close my eyes, read the description of the back of this book and think of nothing else. Let me base me buying this book off of the description by itself. I'm not going to look at the cover. I'm not going to look at who the author is. Let me look at the description. Until people can think like that, it's always going to be, let me look at the cover. I want the instant illusion. If it don't grab me, it's going right back on the shelf.
But this is the thing. Like, I can agree with that, which is why, you know, Ray and I talk about this all the time. The reason why Zane didn't put her picture in the back of the book for all those years is simply because sometimes you have to make, when you're writing something like erotica or maybe just romance, sometimes you want people to maintain the illusion that you look, that you're the 6 foot, you know, 100 whatever pound, you know, beautiful supermodel who happens to write erotica in her free time. And as long as people believe that illusion, they'll buy it. If they find that you're a 5'5", 320-pound woman, you know, sitting at home, and especially if you're black, you're automatically stigmatized. Because let's look at E.L. James. She is not the picture of beauty, and nor did she put her picture on any of the books. But all of a sudden, you know, S&M, oh, my goodness, I've never read a book with S&M before. Not, you know, she sold 12 million copies already of this book that most people say, eh, it was all right. You know, so, I mean, perception is everything. But, you know, we still getting off topic.
But you got to remember, too, guys, we got to look at this, too, the demographic you're going after. Y'all mentioned that, but y'all didn't say it in the way I'm saying it. The demographic that you're going after is basically the way you should be trying to figure out how you're going to determine your cover. But you don't want to have your cupboard look like everybody else's. That's
everybody
what
else's. There's no originality.
We're putting all the same shit. Every damn hood book has got a skyline, and it's got a goddamn either a woman or a man
car.
On the front of the floor or some shit.
A car or money
car
or jewels.
Or gun. Half
or, yeah.
Indian woman.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that make a hood cover.
And that's
you know,
the thing. Like, that's already been decided.
There's either a chest, a male's body, or something. It depends on who you're trying to reach.
Sex sells.
So, you know, you, so and that's what you gotta look at, too. So, you know, I don't know. We do need to fix the names in the books. We do need to do that. Everybody don't have to have hood names. You know, what's wrong with the old names we had, like you said, Susan or something like that?
Because those names aren't
like, it ain't
hood.
But
old guys use those names. If you got a name that ain't hood, then they don't believe it's hood unless you do that. So I don't know.
But more often than not, the hood names are the nicknames. The real people's names are stuff like Daryl and Donald and Sean. You know what I'm saying? These are the real names of the people, but they're using nicknames as real names. So you get stuck with a name like Delisha. I'm sorry. I'm not going to read a book with a chick named Delisha.
I understand, man. I'm with you. But I'm just saying, you're one person. So everybody else, they're going to read that shit. Because that's what they're looking for. You know what I'm saying? They're looking for that.
But it's what you're looking for until there's something better. Whenever you put out a better product, it doesn't matter. Like, people change stuff for us all the time. Like, take the 9/11 law. You know what I'm saying? That shit is still wrong, but we still deal with it. It's not something, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you walk into an airport, they searching you down. Like, you know, the Constitution say, hey, unless you got reasonable cause, you can't do that. Then they wrote the 9/11 law and said, hey, you can do that whenever you walk into an airport. It's not something we agree with, but it's something that we deal with. And
because
that's the way
we want to travel.
Right. And the thing is, if you want to read a book, then sometimes if you have rational, reasonable names, even if you only introduce them, let's say his name is Daryl, you know, Juvie Jones. All right, we already know his name, Daryl. The fact that you call him Juvie through the rest of the book is understandable because we know that's his nickname. You know,
absolutely.
But if you start off by calling him Juvie and that is just his name, that undermines everything because now people don't take you seriously. Now you're just a hood book.
Exactly, and you're right. I agree with you there. And that's the way, you know, when I did it in my books, I did do that. Like there's different people like pimps or whatever. I give the real name and the middle name. I put in parentheses the pimp name. And then that way in the rest of the book, people know what you're talking about. But
right.
I don't do nicknames in my book. I don't
even
need to.
The answer to this, though, is we need to work on trying to fix that. But you know what the real answer is? People going to pick up what they want and they're going to put down what they want.
Exactly.
It's up to us to make it better. I agree with you, and I want to.
Exactly.
But guess what? They're going to put the shit down and pick up what they want. If it ain't what they're looking for, they ain't going to pick it up.
Well,
this
see,
is true. But
like, it goes back to the description. It goes back to, you know, how this cover brings an instant illusion. I have been in a bookstore, and I have seen I've been in a national bookstore, not a hood little corner store that sell books, and I have seen people pick up a Stephen King novel, see Stephen King's name in big bold print in the front, turn around, read the back, okay, I want this. I have seen people of my own kind look at a book, she ain't that cute, his body ain't that built, and base their whole buying strategy on what does that cover look. Probably not even turned around the back of the book and read a synopsis and put it down. They have to have that instant illusion. That instant gratification is like the icing on the cake. If the book is corny, huh, it is what it is. But you may have known the book was corny by turning around and reading the back of the book.
But see what we're doing? We're dictating policy by the worst of us. There used to be a point in time where movies were supposed to make us better, you know, and then it was music. We listened to music, and we were better people for having listened to music. Literature is that last bastion that you're supposed to have that makes you better or at least makes you want to work harder towards, you know, a goal or a fantasy or whatever, and now that's being taken away by the people who sit on the lowest scale. So at what point do we stop the scale from sliding all the way down?
at one point in time, you can't do it, because as long as people come out and they believe they have a right to write hood, it seems like at one point in time, to write a book, you had to have some type of knowledge of literature. You had to have some type of knowledge of the subject you're writing about. Like if you were Red Snapper, were writing a book about history, you should have some knowledge of history. Now it's like for me to write a book about the hood, I got to have been in jail to have done that. So as long as people keep up with that mentality, they're going to say, you know what? I didn't been in a hood neighborhood. I didn't been in jail. I'm going to take this and write about this through my whole career. And then you get the juicy fruits. And my name is Delectable. My name is Beyonce, Tina Marie, all this other bull.
But there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that whenever you put out something, you always wanted to put it out to the best of your ability. And that's what we're lacking. So what if somebody wants to write a story about the hood? I don't care if they was raised in the suburbs and they want to write a story. As long as it's the best possible story that they can put out, you know, and they hold it to the highest standard, that's all really people are asking for. They're not asking you to completely change, you know, street lit and make it something that's not. That, mm-hmm. To me, that would be insincere. You know, if you want to write a hood novel and then, you know, make it like it was you was living in the suburbs, that's not real. But at the same time, you want to at least hold something like literature to its highest standard. So you don't want to put it out with half editing. You want to put out with these crazy-ass names. You don't want to put it out with the same repetitive story that you've already heard 30, 40, 50 times. I wouldn't
care
if it was romance. I wouldn't care if it was Bible thumping.
But then it goes into who is going to be the one to tell them to step up. An editor is going to be an editor and make his or her money and edit your book to what you want it to
but
what
think
it
about
be edited to.
But this, think about this. We are the only people, the only group of people who are regularly subjected to this. Everybody else has a higher standard for theirs, but as soon as the standard comes along, we like, we don't want to follow that. And
well,
now,
you know,
and now we're paying the price for it, because the worst, when books start getting worse, people who wanted to write books are like, oh, I can do better than that. And when they put out a book, it's worse than the person that you know whose book they just read. So now we're constantly lowering the steps.
What's the answer, DV? What's the answer to this? How do we get people to see what we're doing is wrong, and how can we get it fixed to get it better?
All I'm saying is this: like I've always said this, we've been fighting for so long that we don't know how to stop fighting. Even when they set a standard, we go underneath that standard just to show that we can go underneath that standard. My point is this: if we want kids, especially, you know, these kids now, to have better, we're the ones that have to do better. We're the ones who are going to have to expect better. Because the truth of the matter is as long as our standards keep going down, kids are going to keep meeting those standards. And they damn sure ain't going to try to exceed them. But we are the only group of people who are constantly subjected to this. And then we point fingers at, oh, the man keeping us down. Well, we started it. We're keeping ourselves down, and then we can't get the jobs, and we can't. When we're the first ones fired.
It's great, but we need to come up with some type of way to get this out to everyone.
Somebody has to take the first step.
Right, but this is the problem. No, like, there are groups of people out there. Let's take white people, for example. We accuse them all the time of being the sneakiest, underhanded people of all time. Yeah, but they stuck together, and now they own 99.9% of all the businesses. You know, at some point, we're going to have to stick together if we're going to move forward as a people. Because right now, the only thing we're doing is me, mine, and mine. Everybody graduate from me, find me.
We are crabs in a barrel. As soon as you see one crab getting up, you got someone like, you ain't going to do better than me, and they pull them right back down. And you are right. We do need unity. But it will take someone to say, you know what, I want to be above the rest. I want to be above the rest to go ahead and change the way we view ourselves in literature.
But
as long as people keep Bill Cosby said that, but Bill Cosby is not from my generation. A lot of the people from my generation are writing this nonsense. And a lot of people from my generation are reading this nonsense, and they're going to continue to read it because it's entertainment to them. Somebody has to be bold enough to stand up and want a change. But if you making all these thousands of dollars off this book and you're satisfied with that, you're not going to change the status quo unless your readers start saying, you know what, Mr. Author, I don't like the way you depicted our people in this book. You need a change. When they see their money start suffering, they going to remix that formula up to try to get their readers back. And they're going to keep going back to the drawing board until they hear their readers and change what they're doing. Because
the problem,
like, they could, but it's like they could make a hood novel, as you said, make it sincere or genuine as they want. But the depiction that we are being depicted as in these books are like we're a bunch of bumbling buffoons. Like, it's nothing but coonery. It's just ridiculous.
The thing is from experience,
we need to come up with a way to put this out the way we're doing it, you know, and you know, I mean, we have to come up with a sit down conference or something to talk about.
But,
it. The thing is,
but see, I told you this last week, Red. If we actually had a book between us, you know, if there were people who actually sat down and said, look, we're going to have a black book union. We're going to be able to help you get all the tools that you need so that you can put the best book forward possible. And we all had to go through this union, you know, which was not, you know, which was compromised with people from, you know, all across. It didn't matter, you know, what genre you're in. These people are established. These people have put forth the best product that they could. And then it would be better. But as of now, everybody's out there, well, I can write a book, so I can write a book. There is no vetting process amongst anyone now. It used to be that the vetting process was major publisher houses. Now that it's self-publishing, there are, you know, is everybody out there for themselves. So we're all trying to do it, and then most of us are doing it wrong. And for the few of us that are doing it right, you know, we pay the price because most of us are doing it wrong. And there's, you know, as much information as they try to figure out, they don't want to find it out for themselves. They want you to tell them what it is. You know, why am I not doing this right? Well, tell me. I don't want to have to research. And that's what we're doing now. We're a bunch of people who don't want to do things the right way, but we want to make the quick dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get away from that, until there's somebody that says, look, yeah, you can make the quick dollar as long as you do it, you know, the right way. It doesn't have to be my way. It doesn't have to be Red's way. It doesn't have to be Drika's way. The right way. Make sure your book is, you know, formatted. Make sure your book is edited to the best it possibly can. Make sure that, you know, you meet at least, you know, an X amount of pages, because people putting out books now that are 50 and 60 pages and calling them books. Those are pamphlets. You know, so these are the things that we're doing that where we're shooting ourselves in the foot. And then everybody's like, well, I don't want to buy no book not higher than 99 cents. I don't want to buy no book that's $1.99 or $2.99 because I can't trust that it's going to be a book. You know what I'm saying? But if there was some type of union that we all, rules that we all abided by, you know, people wouldn't be afraid to pay those because they know that the product that they have in their hands is the best possible product out there. Like, everybody went and bought this iPhone. Why? The iPhone 5, like, my friend was like, yeah, I pay $400 for an iPhone. Why? Because it's the best possible product out there in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And people know that once they get in their hands, it's going to be a product that they're going to use and that they're going to have a benefit from. Why? Because they have strict working conditions. They have strict standards. When you have strict standards, everybody expects a level of excellence. When there's no standards, if they just, you know, any other phone that's not the iPhone 5, so what? If they put a commercial on it, you're like, eh, I can get it or not get it. They put out the iPhone 5, and you know what kind of product you're getting.
Hey, Melanie, you still here, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you got to say?
Well, to touch a little bit on what Dee was saying about a union, something like a certification process, kind of like they do with, you know, organic or, you know, some process, I think it's a good idea. I do think, though, that just kind of touching back on what was talked about regarding who's going to be that person to step up. You know, I think editors, that's one place that's easy to kind of help. You could do a little bit more. I mean, I know I do in my editing as far as guiding and saying, hey, you know, you know, I mean, your job. This is one dimensional. Your character is this and that. This is very cliche. You know, really challenge your thinking. And people like you, Draco was saying, will read what is out there, but it's almost like whistleblower status to have somebody say, okay, now I'm going to be real, you know, and I'm going to really review what's, you know, going on, because you can kind of tell where a book is going just based off of what you're reading, the Amazon review. And a lot of these reviews, you know, are from friends, which we've talked about numerous times, because you can imagine, you know, with so much chaos in the first few pages, how the rest of the book's going to go and how realistic it's going to be. You know, I do agree also with the standard being lowered. I think it has been with the flood of self-publishing. Nobody's checking after you. Nobody is really working with writers, especially first-time writers. A lot of the writers don't read. They haven't read. They didn't read as kids and stuff. You know, there was no that. You know, some really great authors for young adults that people probably never heard of. And a lot of those don't read, so all they have is books by us that are badly written as to go off of. And so that's just, you know, it's an endless cycle. So, I mean, I agree with a lot of the points that were said tonight. And I think it would take a group of people who were steadfast and could say, okay, this is crap, or you need to go to school, or I'm having school, or I'm teaching, you know, a course on description, or this and that is free, you know, or, you know, mentoring, that's another good thing, too. But, I mean, it all takes time, and everybody wants to make money first. Nobody wants to go to school, per se.
You're right, and I think, like I said, technology has made it where it's easy for people to not go through a vetting process anymore. They can just put a book out, like you said, and these people are putting pamphlets out, and they're calling them books, and they want to get paid $15 for 50 pages, you know, and stuff like that.
Design,
I mean, you know,
everything. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, tell
them. You know, it's crazy. You're right. So maybe we should come up with some type of a thing that people can join, and in order for you to get your books done through this. You have to join, you pay a price or whatever, and just kind of work with trying to help people that really want it. You know, I don't know.
Well, I know. It's a sacrifice, because it's like going to school. You know what awaits you after 4 years, or, you know, depending on what your degree is, after your schooling, you know the potential there. But because people don't, you know, a lot of people think art is, you know, it's a calling in a sense. You really got to want to love what you're doing. And if you're naturally talented, that's awesome. You know, there's room for improvement with everybody. But a lot of these folks, they get Photoshop or they get some free program and some free stock photography, and they are publishing houses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no respect for the process. There's no respect for story. You know, sometimes, you know, going through edits and just talking to people about editing, you just wonder that the whole, there's no even this, no real understanding of even how to write, how to develop a plot and how to develop characters and how to introduce, you know, conflict and tension and resolution and things. They're clueless. You don't need to be writing.
You're absolutely
correct. You know what I mean? Just because the means are there does not, you know, and like I said, it's great. It's awesome that we don't have to go and be accepted and be agents and all of this stuff. It's layers and layers. But especially black folks, like DB was saying before, we are the first to just take the straight road without, you know,
trying to do
way from A to B. And we won't carry anybody with us. And nobody wants to stay behind and hold the standard, hold the torch to make sure that we don't lose, you know, a lot of the value and a lot of the talent in writing. Eric Jerome Dickey did an awesome job with black relationships, you know, built his whole reputation on real life. And none of, like you guys said, it was not street, because that is not all we are. It was very authentic. And that could definitely be captured. It's been lost. That can be captured through writing, but nobody wants to really take the time to write, the time to learn how to write. But these
mm-hmm.
books are being loaded by the thousands. And
yes.
What can you do? And they're flooding. I mean, the tacky covers and the horrific ghetto Pocahontas. I know, DB Hint Touch. I mean, there's so many titles.
Yeah, I forgot. There's a book out there called Ghetto Ballerina or something like that or whatever.
Oh,
yeah, there's a few.
My gosh.
Well, you know, it's a lot of strippers.
Really, like,
yeah,
as
I mean,
a man, no one is doing the work no more.
Right.
Yeah,
no
I mean,
one is
but
doing
that.
The work.
Ghetto ballerina. I mean, like I said, all that stuff is...
Like,
you know,
what in the world is your legacy going to be?
Your
legacy is going to be that you made money. And it seems like the way that I've been saying this for years when it came to athletes, and now I have to transition that statement to authors. You know what athlete is playing from his heart, and you know what athlete is playing for his paycheck. Sometimes throughout, you may start this career with the love of writing, but somewhere along the line, you get so engrossed into trying to make fame, trying to make money and make people know who you are, that you lose sight of your gift. Just because you have a thought in your head and you can write a sentence does not make you a writer. Just like turning on a pot of boiling water doesn't make you a chef. You have to hone your craft, and people are not honing their craft. They put together two sentences, bam, I'm a writer. So now that I'm a writer, and it's like now that people think that they're writers, they don't want to do the hard work to look for a publishing company, a big publishing company. They resort to the Facebook publishing companies, where you don't see their advertisement nowhere else but Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have no website, but you can find all their book information, all their publishing information on Facebook. Now you then became a Facebook author. It's not hard to start your own publishing company. I had to start my own because no one would publish my work. But I felt my work was different because no one wanted to publish me because I didn't want to talk about sucking on this and hitting on this and she looking like this and all this. I didn't want to talk about that. My people had real names, Jonathan, Sean, Michael, Eric, Derek, no, Marcus. You know, Cynthia, Rhonda, Sarah, real names that I grew up with. I don't have no Bonquishas, Alakazam in my book.
Lot
I don't
Nasha.
Have all that, right? You know, like, I don't have, like, all those Buicks and Mercedes, and my name is Ambiance, Beyonce Knowles and Carter. I don't have all that in me because all that's not real to me. But then you get people get their book together, and bam, now you're a publisher.
Yep.
We can go all night, and we ain't got but like 7 minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a chance, Rika, to go ahead and kind of tell people about your book, what you got coming out, and how they can get it. And and last minutes from Melanie and anybody else that has something they might want to say real quick. Hurry up.
Okay, I'll be quick. My new book, Game Over, is coming out in February. My book that's out now, Hide and Seek, you can find it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Just type in my name, Drika Armstrong, Drika spelled D-R-I-C-A, or contact Red Snapper. You can contact me. Have a good night, all.
Oh, don't leave yet. Don't just run
I'm
off.
I'm not leaving. I just said have a good night to the public. To the public. I'm not going to leave you like that.
Okay, Melanie, you got anything you want to put out real quick?
Nothing different. Well, I am still taking submissions for those who like to write flash fiction or have some pieces that you wouldn't mind seeing, you know, in the 99-cent Kindle kind of a novella or just a little mini anthology, my little black book series. I did the colorful PDF version the first time, but I think I'm going to put up some just straight Kindle or digital book version. So, it will be a good time to get some stuff edited and feedback and everything else if you want it. You know, we were talking about that, but, you know, I'm still collecting for that. And also for the mood ring. I know for those people who have committed to put colors and themes, you know, I'm still taking submissions for that. I haven't set a release date because people are still writing.
Okay. All right. Okay. You got anything else?
No, check out the website, www.naughtyinkpress.com. Still having a lot of fun with that website. In fact, like, I'm going to start putting blogs. Everything I start saying on the show, I'm actually putting blog form, you know, get opinions, you know, shit like that together. But that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've definitely got to take my bullshit. But anyway.
Yeah,
some of y'all may have noticed. I don't know if you noticed or not. Anybody who keeps up with me, or if they don't, I'm going to tell it anyway. The whole Scandalous Motive series has been revised. New covers, new everything. So if you haven't noticed that, they're new. Everything is redone. And some new covers and all that. So we're trying to do something different. And I took that into account, all the things we talked about.
tonight, yesterday in the covers, my covers don't look hood anymore. I mean, they're, you know, you can't tell. They're books. Because I'm not trying to go for anybody who's black. I'm trying to get readers. So that's why I resumed all those. If you get a chance, take a look at the new revised version. They've been cleaned up, inside and out. And, yeah, we can do that. So. But I thank all of y'all for coming on tonight. And
thank you for having me.
Evie is going to definitely give me, thank you very much for coming on. And Evie is going to give me the subject, I'm sure, before Monday, hopefully. next week.
I'm going to hook you up.
And, you know, we're going to keep this thing going. I like the way the show is going now with the subject matter and everything. And I forget who's coming on next week, but we got some more people that's coming on, and we're going to be talking and discussing things. And, y'all keep doing what you do because you do a great job at Naughty Ink Press and all that. And you know, we want to get that relationship book really done for real, seriously. I really want to do that. That's definitely a project that we want to do next year. So please, let's some kind of conference or something so we can do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Very soon.
We definitely want to do that. So thank you all for coming on. I'm here to let it go with this here, this song that I want to play, and we'll just let it roll out.
God, I just don't know. Last night was incredible. Yes. Check it out. Last night, I felt the skies open up and rain down heaven. Last night, I felt the sun, the moon and stars come together. Last night I heard an angel speak to me, said us forever. And while we were making love, I saw visions of a tropical river. Last night I touched a dream. When you were here with me, last night I
touched a dream.
Girl, you fulfilled my fantasy.
Touched a dream.
Then we rewrote the book of love, making history. That night you brought my dream to reality. Now last night, ooh, I could have sworn I saw an eagle spread his wings. Last night I heard a massive choir lift their voice and sing. Last night I saw the world living in peace and harmony. Ooh. While we were making love, felt my soul beating.